It sets us free. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? Full of grace and truth. Jesus is the one full of truth. Right? Now think about, you know, we read here, we beheld. And now sometimes when you see this word beheld or behold, what it means in the original language is to look with great investigation. But that's not what this word is right here. It's a little different. This word means we gazed at, we stared at, we couldn't take our eyes off of him. That's really what this word here means. It carries that idea in the original language. Right? We stared at him, we just couldn't take our eyes off of him. Right? And because here's someone like never before that we're seeing. You know, the only begotten of the Father is Jesus, and this one, the one we couldn't take our eyes off, he's the one full of God's mercy and love and kindness. They couldn't take their eyes off of him because he was full, meaning overflowing, with grace and truth. Now look at verse 17 here. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth, and read it with me, came through Jesus Christ. Right? And the verbs in this passage here are very telling. It tells us something very important in the text. Right? You see, the law was given to Moses. But are you looking here? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See the difference? Right? So the passage here is saying something was brought into existence. Something was given birth, something came to be that wasn't there before. And through the agency of Jesus Christ, you know, boil that down, it means specifically, Jesus is the one responsible for the message, which is truth, that sets us free. And so we consider the identity of the message that sets us free, right? It's not part of the Old Testament. You know, all the fuss lately, over the last several years, really, about, you know, people taking away the Ten Commandments out of the city square and out of courtrooms and all that. I get the sentiment, right? You know, it is disturbing removing any semblance of religion from the public square. I get that, but listen, we don't live under them anyways. We do not live out under the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, right? Ephesians, we read it, you can look at several different places. You know, Ephesians 2, it was abolished, right? Colossians 2, it was taken away, right? Jesus did away with the old law. The message that sets us free, friends and brethren, it's not a message that says thou shalt not steal and murder, covet, etc., right? Jesus did away with that. Actually, we have a higher standard than that. Matthew 5 and verse 17, for example. Here in John 1 and verse 17, we read, for the law, that's the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, was given, and given here, by the way, means gifted. The old law was gifted to the Hebrew people, right? Through the agency of Moses, it was temporary. It was a tutor, Galatians 3. And then what happened here with Jesus? Then we read, the truth came into existence through the agency of Jesus. Listen. The message that sets you and I free this very day did not exist prior to the Son of God coming in the flesh to this earth. The incarnation of Christ Jesus. Right? And that message that sets us free, it's not going to be found in the Old Testament. Now it's alluded to. It's foreshadowed, but a message of salvation that sets you free will not be found in the Old Covenant. Now, I want you to think of one final observation in this first point. Right? It didn't exist prior to the coming of Christ. It's not found in the Old Testament. But I want you to note, number three, this message that sets us free does not come from man. It cannot come from man. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, It reads, it is not in man to direct his own steps. You probably know that passage very well. Right? And if there's ever a message that this generation needs to hear, that's it right there. Right? Because our culture struggles with humanism. Right? In other words, you do you. You do what makes you feel good. Whatever your personal truth is, you know, you go, girl, right? That's our culture. That's not the message of the Bible. That's not the message of Scripture. Right? That's humanism that has grabbed the hearts of man and got man to think that they can determine truth. That they are the arbiters of truth, and whatever they think or feel is right is true, then that's it. You know what? And understand this, the message that sets us free, it does not come from man, nor can it come from man. Man doesn't get to choose the standards of right or wrong. Now, you can choose to accept the message that saves or reject it. You do have that choice. But you don't get to decide or set the standards of what that truth is and how you're set free from sin. Right? The issue's already been determined. Right? This message that sets us free, it didn't exist before Jesus. You're not going to find it in the Old Testament. And you, mankind, me, we don't get to decide the standard in that. All right, so number two this morning. This man didn't wake up one morning and have a message in front of them. You know, it just appeared out of nowhere. And I hope that you know that. You know, it didn't just appear like the morning newspaper. The truth that sets us free has come in phases of information. Now, I'm not talking about the three distinct dispositions of time. I'm not talking about that, you know, how God first interacted with the patriarchs, the head of the family, then the law of Moses, then the covenant of Christ. That's true, but I'm not talking about that. But rather this, right here, phase one, the message that sets us free, has been presented to us by the incarnation of Christ. Right? God in the flesh, incarnate. Right, presented to us by the incarnation of Jesus. So stand here in the book of John in chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, now no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Right now, this is a verse that directly flows from verse 17. You remember that? Truth came through the agency of Jesus Christ. Right? So if you want to know truth about God, study Jesus. Study the life of Jesus. Right? Study about Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among man and being the only begotten of the Father, verse 14, who brought truth when he came, verse 17, who is in the bosom of the Father. Right? He's the one that the Father made known, declared in verse 18. So you want to know about the Heavenly Father? Well, study the life of Jesus. Right? Jesus said, my Father and I are one. If you would, turn over to chapter 7 in the book of John. And so this truth that sets us free from God, the will of God in our lives, the incarnation of Jesus, but number two, I want you to see this with me. The message that sets us free is by the instruction of Jesus, the words of Jesus, what Jesus says, right? You can know the will of God in your life by the words of Jesus, right? You can know the will by watching what he did, his life, while on this earth, and then next, the words that he spoke, the teaching. In chapter 7 and verse 16, this is what we read. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Very simple. The language here is emphatic, right? That Jesus said, the doctrine of teaching of me is not of me, but it's of the one who sent me. In other words, Jesus was speaking the revealed will of God. Right? So you can look at his lifestyle, and then you can look at his words. John, the 12th chapter. Staying here in John, go with me to John chapter 12. And I want you to read with me here verses 48 through 50. And so also the language here, again, it's very emphatic with the use of pronouns. Right? Really added for emphasis, seen in the doubling of the pronouns here. So he who rejects me, verse 48, and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in that day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Right? Jesus is emphatically telling us here. He said, I want you to know that this message that sets us free can be seen in the life that I live, number one, but also in the very teachings that I give you, and know that they are from the Father. Right? But then now there's a third phase I want you to see here. And this is an important one. This is where a lot of people mess up. This is where you get the sad but ignorant statement, I only read the words in red. Have you ever heard that? I'll go listen to the words in red. Well, they know nothing about biblical transmission, translation, or anything. It's a very sad statement. And so we have the incarnation of Jesus, the instruction of Jesus, and then we have the inspiration of Jesus, right? That's still part of the truth that sets us free. And so, you know, Jesus in John, the 16th chapter, if you would, right? He knows he's going back to heaven, and he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And he's going to come with an inspired message. He's going to tell you, the disciples, what to write down. And so I need to understand this from the text here this morning. John 16, let's read verses 13 and 14 together. And it reads, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you, the disciples, the apostles. So Jesus here, he's saying when the Holy Spirit, the Helper, comes, the Parakletos in the Greek, the great helper, he's going to tell you what to write down, disciples, apostles. What the Holy Spirit tells you isn't even going to originate from him. It's going to come from me. Earlier, Jesus said, I'm telling you the words of God. See the chain of authority there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit to the disciples to write it down. He's going to take of mine and declare it to you. Right? He said, I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, when you pick up the book of Romans, or the letter to the church at Corinth, or to the brethren in Galatia, write that letter, and you're reading those words. Listen, that message that you read, it came from Jesus. Right? In other words, Jesus is basically saying, you know what Luke, what he wrote down in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? You know where you read, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? He said, that's the same as me standing right in front of you right now, Sean, telling you to repent and be baptized of your sins. Or when you read in Galatians 6, right, to bear one another's burdens. Yeah, Paul wrote that, but that's the same, Sean, as you're reading that, as me, Jesus, standing right in front of you and telling you you better bear one another's burdens. Or the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, when it says, do not forsake the assembly. That's the same, Jesus says, as me right in front of you saying, do not forsake the assembly. Or whatever you're looking at. And I think that's important for us to understand in all of this, right? And this is actually a breakdown of the entire New Testament, by the way. Right, the second main point that we're looking at here. Right, so if I want to know the truth, the message that sets me free, I study the incarnation of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I look at his life. And I study the instructions of Jesus, his words of life, right? The words that he said that, yes, are in red, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But also, number three, the inspiration of Jesus, the book of Acts all the way to the end, the book of Revelation. And so when I do that, you know, and I'm learning about the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the inspiration of Jesus, and this is how I live out my redemption, what's going to be the result of that? Well, I'm going to know the will of God, and it's going to set me free. Now, watch what we've looked at so far this morning here. We're gonna begin to wind down in the third point in just a moment. Right? So let's start putting it all together, right? There's a body of truth right now that will release you from your past. Right? A body of information right now that you can look at, that you can read, that you can know, that you can study, that will set you free from your sin. From your past. Right? It's a message that did not exist before Jesus came into the world, the new covenant. Right? You're not going to find it in the Old Testament, and it's not going to come from your own personal leanings. It's not going to come from your political preference. It's not going to come from your previously held religious baggage. Right? Your previous heritage. Right, but the message of truth that will release you from your past is a message that can be found in the way that Jesus lived and what he said and what he inspired. So let's keep it all together and understand that is the message that will set you free. All right, third and finally this morning, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. All right, so we've looked at each phase of this message that will set you free. But I want you to note something here, right? Each phase of truth that has been revealed is authoritative, right? All right, so the way that Jesus lived, that's authoritative. Right? The words that he taught, authoritative. Philippians 2 and verse 5, have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. See, it's all authoritative. Right, what the Holy Spirit says through Paul or Peter, that's authoritative. We need to live like Jesus and listen to the words of Jesus. So read this with me, 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to read with me verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, this word example here is a compound word in the original language. Hupogrammos. Hupo means under. Grammos means writing. Everyone know what an underwriter is, right? You ever dealt with certain things with insurance? Jesus is the underwriter. Right? It carries that idea of an original writing to copy. Right? The idea of tracing the original. You walk as he walked, you talk as he talked. Right? His lifestyle, his words, his teachings of the apostles and prophets. To write down the mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. Right? And they serve as authority in our lives. When we seek that authority, we submit to that authority, it will set us free from sin. We need to see that the message that Jesus spoke is absolutely authoritative. You know, remember the words that Jesus said right before he left this earth? And we ended the lesson last week on this passage, Matthew 28. And he says, All authority has been given to me. And I want you to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus is telling us, he said, my instruction, that's authoritative. And it was seen in his incarnation in this life, right? Authoritative. The words that he said while he's on this earth, authoritative. The words that he told the apostles and the prophets to write down, right? Authoritative. And so Jesus, throughout the entire Bible, through the Holy Spirit, right, you know, through the pen of Paul, right there in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, right, he warns, do not go beyond what is written. Listen, if we're going to be vessels of honor in the manner that God wants us to be, we need to understand these things. We need to understand this about truth. So as we finish up here, let's go back to where we started. Let's go back to John 8 and 31 and 32. And let me ask you this as you're turning there. How many legs would a sheep have if you called its tail a leg? Some might say five. No. It's still four. It doesn't matter what you call the tail, right? It still only has four legs. That is a very simple yet powerful way to understand truth, right? Gravity, I use this illustration all the time. Gravity is truth. If I drop this and you don't believe in gravity, it's not going to somehow just float away. Right? Gravity is truth. Truth is a person of Jesus Christ, John 14 and verse 6. Truth does not change because you think it's different than what it is. Truth is truth is truth. So Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, verse 33, some of those heard these words, right? And they said, we've never been in bondage. And to that, Jesus replied, beginning in verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Truth is truth is truth. And God has given us truth. Right? You won't have that excuse, well, God, I just didn't know there was a truth that existed. I just couldn't find that truth. Yes, you can. It's been made available to you. Especially in how Jesus lived and the words that he used and the inspiration that he left. We need to understand that it is absolutely authoritative in our lives. So, this morning here, we're going to sing a song in just a moment, a song of encouragement. A song of invitation, if you've never obeyed the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you what it is. It's verifiable. You can look it up on your own to make sure I'm not telling you something that's wrong. But this is the truth. And if you have not obeyed this truth, understand there's going to be consequences if you die or the Lord returns. Right? Kind of like what we talked about last week, though. I know people don't come to have their fears increased. But there's another side of that that we need to be aware of. There are consequences. There's consequences for not obeying the truth. Here's the truth. Jesus came to this earth, he lived, and he died. And he rose again, defeating death, victory over death, and ascending to the right hand of the Father. Now he's given you the opportunity not only to know God, but to obey his gospel. 2 Thessalonians 7 through 9. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And we are to reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water through baptism, immersion. And we're doing that because we believe those things. We believe Jesus is who he said he was. John 8:24, willing to repent of our sins, Acts 2:38, confess him before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And with that response of faith, we're going to die to self in baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life as we come up out of the water graves of baptism. So if you haven't done that, you have an opportunity to do so, or at least come and see me and say, hey, I need to know more. I need to know that truth. I need to be set free from my sin. Show me what the Bible says, and I'll let you read it for yourself. If you have done that and you've fallen away, you're ready to start over, let's take care of that. Let's get you reconciled to God. So if you have any need this morning, please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.